It is good to bring God's word to you today. In the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, we have had just over 3 weeks of lockdown. And the UK government has just, of course, announced another 3 weeks of lockdown. I don't know about you, but these are trying times. I find it funny how my colleagues sign off their emails, best wishes in this new normal, somebody says. Or another person might write, wishing you well in these unprecedented times. My personal favorite is stay safe and sane. These are all ways that people cope, I suppose. But I'm not so sure how helpful these well wishes are. I think for myself, I'm quite often glued to Facebook or Twitter, and it's this endless scroll of disappointments. And we know as Christians that our only source of encouragement is found in God alone. But it's so hard in these days, in this time. So it's good, actually, to bring God's word to you today, especially in these ambivalent times. As you may remember, this year's church theme is the mission of your life, spread the gospel. Today is actually the last sermon of our series. That is God's mission for God's people. Next week, we turn to something new in the book of Acts, but today we focus on the last of our Old Testament saints, the prophet Isaiah. And as we will see, Isaiah, like us, lived in ambivalent times. I'm reading from the NIV translation of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Father God, we give thanks to you in this day, in this time, and we ask that you focus our hearts, you focus our minds, focus all that we have on you, that during this time we can reflect on your word together. Thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this chapter begins with a reference to the death of King Uzziah, the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, in 2 Chronicles 26, it records that King Uzziah took the throne at age 16, and he was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He set himself to seek after God. He defeated his enemies, the Philistines, the Arabians, the Maonites, the Ammonites. He strengthened the borders. He erected towers to protect Jerusalem. He trained up a vast army and built incredible weaponry. But with all of this, Uzziah, towards the end of his life, became prideful. And he tried to burn incense in the temple of the Lord. And this seems weird, but basically what's happening is that, you know, it's only the priests that are supposed to be doing this. But for Uzziah, he became prideful. He thought that he could do whatever he wants because he is already done so much in this kingdom of his. And so because of pride, God struck Uzziah with leprosy, which he carried to his death. It is in the year of King Uzziah's death that Isaiah the prophet sees this vision in Isaiah chapter 6. Now, aside from the last years of his life, King Uzziah was seen as a good king, as a well-loved king, and his death sent a great sadness and fear throughout the land. I would think it would be like when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, or JFK was assassinated, or maybe here when Princess Diana died. Accompanying the death of these great leaders is a great sense of mourning. That people mourn not only this person's life has gone, but they mourn the causes that were so much greater than these individuals, the causes that these individuals fought for. And so in the midst of the great mourning of King Uzziah's death, Isaiah receives a vision. He says, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." This is a new era for the nation of Israel. Can you imagine it? God in his throne room, full of glory and honor. His robe is overflowing and everywhere, right? It's a picture of this overflowing of power and greatness that he sees. Not only that, but Isaiah sees an angelic choir. Now, many think that the seraphim are these monstrous, flaming, angelic beasts, right? So these heavenly beasts, they're flying, and they're ginormous, right? But they are covering their feet and their faces. Why? They're covering themselves out of humility. They cannot bear to be in front of God Almighty. Even them, these great beasts, cannot dare to be in front of God. And out of humility, they're crying at the top of their voices, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." They were singing so loud of God's holiness that the whole building shook. There's this great sense of awe and wonder in this sight. Now think about it. We read in verse 1 that instead of being in the king's palace, Isaiah sees this vision in another place, in another palace, in the temple, and probably in the Holy of Holies. That the Holy of Holies is where what is considered God's throne room. And so to Isaiah, God gives him this vision to show him that though a great person has just died, a great king has just died, the King of Kings, God himself, is still quite alive and on the throne. There is no human leader that is greater than the Almighty God. God is still in control. What I find curious about this is all we hear from this angelic choir is about God's holiness. That is, God is set apart. There is no one who can compare. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. With the death of King Uzziah, the one source of holiness, the one who requires a blood sacrifice to approach, the one who rightly has a throne in the temple, is the seated true king and Lord of Israel, God himself. Though King Uzziah thought his works were so great and so awesome, his works and what he was able to do could not surpass the greatness of God. Now remember, Uzziah defiled the temple, but for God, there's no way that he could defile the temple because he is a very source of holiness. When I was a young Christian, I used to have a little cross that somebody gave me, and I remember I used to wear it around my neck, and when I was go to the bathroom to take a shower, I would sometimes hang the cross on the doorknob. I had nowhere else to hang it, and I thought, well, you know, maybe that will protect me in some way, you know, protect me from any intruders that might might open the door or whatever. But unlike what we see in the movies, you know, with, you know, vampires or whatever, true holiness does not come from a relic. It doesn't come from an object like a cross. True holiness comes only from God. That true holiness comes from the presence of God. And that's why these angels, these seraphim, are crying out the holiness. Because God is there. And that holiness just spreads out in this place. Now, along with this true holiness, we can see in this passage a recognition of unholiness. Isaiah, in verse 5, walks in on this worship service, and he cries, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Remember, only the high priest was allowed in the Holy of Holies, and only to administer before God's throne. Isaiah is not supposed to be there. He's not a priest. He's not a high priest. Isaiah knows that only sinlessness can be before God. There is sin in his life and in the nation he is a part of. Isaiah sees his doom await him, even in this vision. So one of the seraphim takes a hot coal and atones for his guilt. All the sin that Isaiah knew was purged in this moment. The point here is that Isaiah's unholiness is only recognized when it's juxtaposed against God's holiness. But in this passage, we see not only a picture of how the true holiness of God reveals the unholiness of a man, we also see how the true holiness demands true worship of that same man. And this is what Isaiah does. He worships God. Then in verse 8, what happens? Isaiah says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" Isaiah jumps up and exclaims, "Here I am, send me." This is amazing. Because in 1 minute, Isaiah is weeping because of his sinfulness, because of his inadequacies. Yet the next minute, he volunteers for God's mission. In fact, Isaiah doesn't even know what he is getting into, but he throws down his life and submits it to God's plans. There's two very quick observations I want to make here. God cannot use Isaiah if he is unclean. Uncleanliness comes from falling away from what God desires. In this case, it is a falling away from a focus on who God is. Think of King Uzziah, for instance. His pride separated him from God. Having pride meant he was worshiping himself instead of God. For the prophet Isaiah, his cleanliness was not due to pride. He was unclean because he was trusting in somebody else to deliver his nation. That is, the prophet Isaiah was trusting in King Uzziah. Whether it is trust and worship in oneself or seeking somebody else as the ultimate savior, both take away true worship from God. I know that during this time, there are many temptations to draw attention away from God. Part of this may be pride, thinking that we know better than God in the midst of this pandemic. But even greater than this, I suspect, it is the frustration that we cannot trust anybody or anything. That we see failings in our leadership and in our neighbors. Or we have anxieties about how many lives will be lost or how unending the pandemic seems. These are all distractions that take away worship from God. They are forgetting that ultimately God is the one who is in control. That ultimately God is the one who is God. And hence, we need to be cleaned. We need the seraphim to come and put hot coals on our lips. We need to return to a true worship of the most holy God. But the second thing is that God has a mission for Isaiah. But what is it? Is it to go to the northern kingdom of Israel and tell them to return to God? Or maybe it's to go farther afield, to the foreign land of the Assyrians, and to prophesy before them about the works of God, of Yahweh. No, the mission for Isaiah is actually amongst his own people. We see this in the verse following our main passage, which starts on verse 9, when God says to Isaiah, "Go and say to this people," and he goes on and prophesies. He goes on and tells him what the prophecy is. Who is this people? But the people that Isaiah dwells with. The people of this nation, the Jewish nation. I think there's this misconception that mission is out there. Mission, in fact, begins where we are. It may grow to out there, but has to start here in our midst. Now, many years ago when I was still living in San Diego, and I felt God directing me to pursue theological studies, I realized that very likely God was taking me away from the States. And I realized with that, I had an immediate mission from God. And what I did was I moved back home. I moved back into my parents' home. Now, I don't know about you, but, I have been living away from my parents' home for about a decade now. I was living with flatmates and stuff like that, having a perfectly fine, independent life. And then I was moving back to my parents' home. I moved back to my parents' home and went to the theological seminary near their home. But I was doing that because I believe that God wanted me to start with a mission in my parents' home. And I think that that's actually quite an important point. That when the holiness comes from God and is transforming us, it transforms us where we are. When we worship God, when we recognize who God is in our lives, when we see how great God is above things like this pandemic, it is right where we are that He wants us to transform. first. It is right where we are that is our mission. And that is actually really hard during this time, in the midst of this pandemic, because we're all on quarantine. We're all on lockdown. And so where we are oftentimes is our family, or our friends that we live with, or our coworkers that you know, if you're a key worker, you're going in and engaging with. And it's limited how many people you're supposed to be engaging with on a regular basis. And so it is there that our mission begins. There's no social distancing that can prevent this mission from happening. We are called to start the mission that God has for us, before us. It may spread beyond, but it begins with where we are today. I don't know how you are all doing, but in the midst of this pandemic, it has been really hard for me. This year, 2020, I had a lot of things planned. I was invited to participate in some, you know, really fascinating places to give talks for work and stuff like that. I was going to finish drafting out writing another book for my, you know, and a book that I've been working on for many years now. And in the midst of it all, I felt like I was actually beginning to find my stride in work-life balance, that I was not needing to burn, you know, the midnight oil, you know, just to keep up with work and stuff. And then COVID-19 hit. Then things got canceled. Then travel bans happened. Teaching plans started coming by email from our children's primary school teacher to teach arithmetic and reading and how to use PowerPoint to our primary school kids. It is like with Isaiah. Because for Isaiah, King Uzziah died. Everything that was going so well changed. And life had to be relearned again. But in this time, that we are living in, are we preoccupied by how depressing the news is? Or how our dream vacations are canceled? Or how frustrating it is not to be able to go out and enjoy the sun whenever we want? But really, this preoccupation is a preoccupation on ourselves. And it puts ourselves before our God, and it makes it harder for us to see our God. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks to you, for indeed, as the seraphims cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory." Father, help us to cry out in these words, to recognize how holy you are, to see your glory in our midst. Even in the midst, especially in the midst of this pandemic, especially in the midst of things not going well, especially in the midst of frustrating situations at work or school or at home. But turn our eyes to you. Take us from the preoccupation we have on the things that let us down. But give us strength. Cleanse us with a hot coal. Make us clean again, so that we may live for your mission. Live for your mission that begins where we are. And beyond. We give thanks to you, holy, holy, holy is Lord Almighty. We give praise to the King, the Lord Almighty. Amen.